Open our ears, O Lord, to hear your word and to know your voice. Energize us for the work of creating with you all things new in our community, our nation, and our world. Amen. Please be seated. Certainly a joy for me to be with you all this morning. See, I am making all things new. I am making all things new. This statement is spoken by God, as we read in today's scripture passage from Revelation. Now, there's numerous voices that are heard throughout the book of Revelation, but this is the first time in 21 chapters that God actually speaks to an aged John as he writes his revelation while exiled on the island of Patmos. I am making all things new, God affirms. God is active and energized. And in his revelation, John is providing us with a stunning picture of the living God dwelling among us through the Spirit's power. I'm captured by these words of comfort from God, and I have for a very long time now. I like to think about them frequently throughout my normal day. All things are being made new, each and every minute throughout our universe. New things for you and for me and for all our siblings throughout the globe. We are experiencing new creation with this spring season, and we affirm our faith in the newness of resurrection that we proclaim in our shouts of Alleluia. New and eternal life for each of us. I try to live my life in hope. I deeply want God to bring about the newness that will make all things good. In her powerful sermon last Sunday, Dean Cathy concluded at the end, "Christ made us for hope and love, all of us." And that gave me strength to face the new week. Today's scripture passage from Revelation is familiar to many of us, as it's frequently read at a funeral, providing grieving families and friends with words of consolation and hope. I am making all things new. And we hear in the 65th chapter of Isaiah, "For I am about to create new heavens and a new earth. The former things shall not be remembered or come to mind. But be glad and rejoice forever in what I am creating. For I am about to create Jerusalem as a joy, and its people as a delight. I will rejoice in Jerusalem and delight in my people. And no more shall the sound of weeping be heard in it, or the cry of distress." God making all things new. This is our God, who keeps their promises. The same God who promised to Isaiah and to John and to our church today. Making all things new. Not someday, but now and every day to come. Our God is a living God, and therefore continues to create all things new. Now, even though I felt I was well equipped to face the week ahead by Dean Cathy's inspiring words last Sunday, I faced what I felt like was more distress, more cause for alarm, more panic and heightened fear of the future of our nation, our society, and our world. In addition to more horrific deaths from the bloody war in Ukraine, we also had more deaths surpassing 1 million lives from COVID and 6 million and more now in our world. And the numbers are climbing once again. And then we've heard more theories about the leaked draft decision by the Supreme Court in trying to overturn reproductive rights for women. And late last week, I learned the disheartening news that in 2021, we broke the record for deaths from drug overdoses, 107,000. And I actually witnessed one this past Thursday night in the emergency room at SLU Hospital. Parents and caregivers of young children are now facing a major shortage of infant formula caused by a manufacturer recall and our supply shortages. And that causing some of our so-called pro-life advocates to demand that formula not be provided to detained infants at our southern border, thus wanting to starve them to death. And then we hear in the headlines late yesterday and early this morning of the 10 tragic racially motivated deaths in Buffalo. When does it end? We've heard more tape recordings of legislators exposing their blatant hypocrisy and lies regarding the insurrection of January 6th. And the television personalities continue to confirm that they are true racists in their words of hate and vitriol. We continue to hear more conspiracy theories that boggle the mind. And we now hear and read strong and frightening threats by legislators of overturning previous court decisions that affect the lives of my LGBTQ plus siblings, or transgender siblings, or black and brown and immigrant siblings. And then there's the constant action to dismantle voting rights, especially of the marginalized. Freedoms that so many have fought so long and hard for in the past decades and centuries, potentially being overturned because a minority of our society believe God is directing them to do so. My friends, that's not my God. These individuals and groups are not speaking for my God. Their hearts seem consumed with an appetite for power, greed, control, and hate. And last Wednesday's Senate vote on the Women's Health Protection Act gave us a very clear picture of which legislators are supporting the rights of women and our own individual freedoms, and those who are not. We have a clear picture for the work ahead. See, I'm making all things new. Well, I call time out, God. What's happening here? You know, at the time of our creation, God graced us with wisdom and knowledge and free will. But we have to acknowledge that for some, that wisdom is not always used wisely, and that knowledge is frequently clouded with misinformation from hucksters and conspiracy theorists. And our free will is being exploited and used recklessly beyond return. We, you and I, we as the Church of Christ, the family of God, must show up, stand up, and speak up. We must passionately share the true message that we know comes from our God, the message of peace, truth, and love for one another and for all. It's difficult to imagine God's plan of new creation will be fulfilled by God alone. It's going to need to be done in partnership, humanity and God together. Yes, God is making things new, but many times not the way you or I might like to see. Because of our baptism in Christ, we are all part of God's family, all partners with God in creating and rebuilding ourselves, our community, our society, and our world. We have the honor and the privilege to recreate our world with God. And as co-creators with God, it is you and I who must work to bring about what we know to be true and honest, this newness of life. It's no easy responsibility. Toil, commitment, determination, and the love of God and of our siblings are the necessary requirements. We must work tirelessly to hold our leaders, our legislators, our judiciaries responsible for representing all individuals, and especially those who live on the margins, fairly, justly, and with a commitment to improving the quality of life and personal freedoms and dignity. In the third chapter of 2 Peter, we hear Peter say, "But according to his promise, we look for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells." Righteousness dwells. Now, in our gospel today from John, we hear the familiar Maundy Thursday mandate that Jesus gave his disciples and us, the commandment that we love one another. Now, most of the Ten Commandments tell us what we should not do. But Jesus, in his final discourse to his disciples, tells them what to do. He doesn't merely suggest it, he commands it. And we affirm that command in our baptismal covenant, that we will love all persons and respect the dignity of every human being. It's a very clear promise and commitment. We must love everyone, and most especially those who we find think, act, or behave in ways we don't embrace. They too are part of God's creation. And God too is making all things new in them, as is being done in you and I. In the midst of our pain, in the midst of our confusion, in the midst of our anger, in the midst of our tears. We may not be feeling that newness right now. We may not be seeing that newness right now. But we are assured in God's promise. You know, after all, God took our beautiful short spring and turned it into summer earlier this past week. My friends, let us leave here this morning renewed, refreshed, and strengthened by the Holy Spirit, that in the week ahead, we will intentionally begin co-creating our world with God in loving, supporting, and lifting up all our siblings in Christ, in calling out injustice, and in calling out our leaders and government officials to do the right thing for every person, respecting the dignity of every human being, and building up this new creation God has planned for us with hope and love. And I close with the words from Psalm 119, verses 49 and 50. "Remember your word to your servant, because you have given me hope. This is my comfort in my trouble, that your promise gives me life." Amen.